Today's gospel reading is from Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed away from Jerusalem." Then Jesus continued, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" These are the inspired words of Scripture in the Gospel of Luke. In his prayers, we can see that the psalmist often felt frustrated. And in our prayers, we often feel frustrated, mostly because we want immediate answers to our petitions. In 2010, we think that our generation is the first of the now generations, and we want to feel special. Therefore, we imagine that all people before us were patient people. Somehow, everyone was a patient individual. I'm not easily led to patience. Over the course of years, I've become more patient, but anyone who has known me for the decades, not centuries, would describe me as a patient person. Therefore, I like the person who wrote Psalm 27, which we prayed this morning. I'd like to pat him on the shoulder because he prayed stridently. He said, "Hear me, Lord, when I cry loudly. Lord, answer me." And then he shared with God what was in his heart. "Come, my heart said, seek God's face." And you can perhaps hear him almost whisper when he says, "Your face, O Lord, I seek." And then he pleads to God, loudly or in a whisper, I'm not sure. And he says, "Do not hide your face from me." We want to see the faces of people. Criminals who rob stores cover their faces, and that covering by itself frightens people. If someone is crafty or deceitful, we call them two-faced or double-faced. Faces tell us a lot about individuals. Faces show the lines of life. If someone is smiling, we see joy, we see laughter. And if someone has tears, they manifest sorrow. And I find it interesting that the popular internet site that connects people is called Facebook. We want to see the faces of people. We want to see the faces of our friends. So it's no accident then that even thousands of years ago, the psalmist prayed what we pray. We want to see God's face. And yet, how many of us feel comfortable praying like the psalmist did with almost demands? For years, I didn't feel comfortable praying like that at all. And every time I reflected on those strong words, I wanted to quietly repeat the words of the psalmist, for I also want to see God's face. I don't understand that if God wants a relationship with me, why he hides his face from me. And my heart tells me that I want to be with God, to see God's face. And yet, in reflection and times of rational stillness, I feel a closeness to the divine. In an emptying time, when nothing on earth can make me feel complete, I can begin to pray with the trust that the psalmist prayed, "The Lord is my light, the Lord is my salvation." And then the psalmist added, "Whom shall I fear?" I share this with you because I often think that we at times feel fearless like the psalmist. There are times when we feel that because Jesus is our light, we fear nothing. And because Jesus is our salvation, there's nothing to fear. But there's other times in our life, in emptying stillness, when nothing can satisfy us. It is then that we plead that God will teach us the way so that we can be on a level path. And yet in other times in our humanity, we decide that God may not be the answer to our our emptiness. And it is then that we want the more of life, the more that life can fill us with. We want more food, more enjoyment, more comfort, more entertainment. We see other people around us with more stuff, and they seem happy enough. So we want what they have, their happiness, because of their more. And yet we know in our emptiness that God is the divine more, and it is only that divine more that can really complete us and satisfy us. And then we look at God and say, well, what does God want? God certainly does not need us. However, God brought us into being, not just to be with Him, but to enter into a relationship with Him. God is a person, and He wants to be with you and me, not at this time face to face, but with a veil, as Paul says. But the divine is present in God's ways and in God's times. And this is shown over and over and over again in that thick book we call Scripture. God reaching out to us to reveal who God is and how God works among people. And this goes back thousands of years, even to the story of Abram. Some people have thought throughout history that if they are to be a saint, then they should isolate themselves from life. Isolate themselves from other people, and in the modern era, isolate themselves from TV. A famous spiritual writer, Thomas A. Kempis, wrote centuries ago, "When I go out into the world, I come back less a man." About 6 years ago, I heard a television preacher say the same thing. I don't believe it. I think the opposite is true, and Christ is our model. We should be able to say, when we go out into the world, that we have made it a better place, for we have carried Christ in our hearts into the world, because we were kind like Jesus, and pleasant like Jesus, and honest like Jesus. We treated people as we wanted to be treated ourselves, and we accepted every person as a neighbor. And being real, the psalmist knew people. The psalmist knew that there are enemies out there. The psalmist spoke of it. And in fact, not just in Psalm 27, but in a lot of other psalms, the psalmist talks about the enemy out there. The enemies that want to take advantage of us, cheat us, take our stuff, and possibly hurt us. So the psalmist accepted that fact. That's reality. So the psalmist told God in prayer that even if an army of evil people should camp around him, his heart would not fear. He would be confident because his very being lives in the house of God. And there his heart beholds the beauty of God. So the psalmist in joy tells God that he will sing, like the junior and the elderly choir sings and makes melody to the Lord. Never turn your back on an enemy. So the psalmist has a close and prayerful relationship, an honest relationship with God, where he can tell God what he really feels and demand things of God. So whether in despair or good fortune, good health or sickness, troubled times or good times, economic boon or recession, emotional upheaval or stability, God is with us and wants to be with us. This is shown again throughout the stories of Scripture, and it's shown today in the reading about Abram in this Genesis passage. The word of the Lord came to Abram. God's first words to an obviously troubled and frightened Abram were, "Do not be afraid." And we recall those words throughout the Old and New Testament. And then God added to Abram, "I am your shield." So we can reflect on God's words when God tells Abram, our spiritual father, whose children for generations and generations will be like the stars in the sky, that he, the Lord, is forever our shield. But even Abram, after hearing those comforting words from God himself, Abram remained troubled. After Abram fell asleep, it said he fell into a terrible darkness. And it was then that God made the covenant with him. So in that instance, God's relationship with Abram did not occur on a sunny day beside a peaceful stream. It occurred when Abram was frightened, troubled, in a terrifying darkness. So our realization in life, as we go through life, is that God can come to us when times are good or times are dark. When there's light, we are quiet, busy, or there's darkness. God can come to us at any time, for God chooses the time, God chooses the place, we choose to be open to God. Jesus knew this. Jesus was aware of this, and he was aware of this union with his Father and the relationship. And Jesus knew what he had to do, and he knew how he had to minister. I mentioned earlier that some people have the idea that if they're to be a saint in the world, and they are to isolate themselves from other people and other things and temptation. But Jesus did not isolate himself. Jesus was fully in the world. Jesus walked with saints and sinners, with the religious and the pseudo-religious. He walked with those who were with God, those who didn't know or trust God, those who did not even want to know God. A speaker this morning didn't repeat it, but earlier he said in the 8 o'clock service that he talked about we can be missionaries or we can be mercenaries. And I think the same thing is true. He can be with us in either way. While walking in the world, Jesus knew politics. In today's gospel reading, we learn that some Pharisees warned Jesus that he would be killed by Herod Antipas. Jesus knew Herod. He knew Herod Antipas. And he knew that he was the son of Herod the Great. You remember that Herod the Great had many innocent children killed because he was afraid of the infant Jesus. He had learned of his birth when the wise men came asking for directions after seeing a certain star. Herod the Great was not called great because he slaughtered many children, but because he became king over Palestine through cunning and involving himself with Roman authorities, and they appointed him king. He was politically powerful, and after his death, so was his son, Herod, Herod Antipas. Antipas, you will remember, found his brother's wife appealing to him, so he married her. And you will recall that John the Baptist condemned that marriage, so Herod Antipas jailed John the Baptist. When that woman's daughter danced for Herod Antipas, he had John the Baptist beheaded as a gift to her. There's a lot more intrigue to that entire Herodian family, such as Antipas serving as a spy for the Romans, which is why Pontius Pilate distrusted him. So Jesus knew about that astute and political family. So he referred to Herod Antipas by that fox. And Jesus told the seemingly friendly Pharisees to take the message back to Herod. Go tell that fox for me. I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow and the third day. And when I'm done, I'm going to Jerusalem. So Jesus was thoroughly in the world. He understood it. He well understood it. Enemies and foxes. But Jesus also avoided a trap. For when the Pharisees, who were seemingly friendly, warned him, the test was this. If Jesus was more concerned about himself than in preaching, he would have run from Herod. But Jesus didn't run. Today, tomorrow, and on the third day, I will minister. Jesus trusted in his Father's will to eventually unfold in his life. And Jesus' reply showed that his citizenship, as Paul talked about later, was the heavenly citizenship. So Paul was right. We are citizens of heaven while on this earth. And the psalmist was right. For our task is to continue to seek the face of God and to bring God's face to others. We realize God's face through Jesus. We can bring God's face to others through our relationship with Jesus. For we are members of the body of Christ. Christianity is not what we know. Christianity is who we know. Many people may never get a glimpse of God's face without us. And we may never experience God's face without the people around us. We're all part of the body of Christ. God's face is hidden, but it is hidden in plain view. God's face is not in a museum. It's in Jesus and all who walk with Jesus. The difficulty in this world is that there are many foxes, many enemies, and many people who are not willing. Our personal difficulty is compounded because day to day, if not hour to hour, we have many distractions. And at times, we may even be a fox. So we pray like the psalmist prayed, to be true, to remain true, and that when we do stray, we continue to return back to God. Our freedom is such that we can be a saint, we can be a sinner, we can minister, we can be an enemy, we can minister, or we can be a mercenary. The creator of Calvin and Hobbes, a man by the name of Mark Watterson, said this of our free will decisions. Sooner or later, we'll all ask to compromise ourselves, as well as the things we care about. We define ourselves by our actions. With each decision, we tell ourselves and the world who we are. So we, like the psalmist, can decide to seek the face of God or decide not to. And now we can better understand the reading of Paul today and his prayer. And Paul's prayer was that each of us be conformed to the body of the glory of Jesus by the power of Jesus and during our time on this earth to stand firm in the Lord. Let us pray. God, our Father, your Son Jesus has assured us that if we know him, we will know you, for he and you are one. For in Jesus we see your face more clearly than Abram could. Therefore, we pray that through a vibrant and living relationship, we be able to become closer to you through Jesus in your Holy Spirit. Lord, we look forward to saying, blessed is the one Jesus who comes in the name of the Lord. During this life, when we yearn to see your face, let us continue to look around us at beauty in this world, at your inspired words of Scripture, at the Word made flesh who has lived among us, and at those around us who strive to live with and in you. Lord, you continually call us, whether through our experience of beauty, or whether we seek you when we suffer, or whether we find you in our search for truth, or our longing to seek your face possesses our souls, or however we act in response to your loving grace. Lord, the God of Abraham, we pray that we answer your call to us, for we recognize you as the God of our salvation.